give a warm welcome to Elder Sylvia Garza. Woo-hoo!
The first part of the year, we always have the word of the Lord. And this year, the Lord gave me Isaiah 55. And I gave the word of the Lord through that chapter. I don't think there's no outline on the screens, so you have to follow me on your Bibles. So there is one. Yes, praise God. Oh, I always have a hard time trying to get everything together and my paperwork together, and I'm not fit for the computer and the printer, and I don't have all those gadgets in my home, so please bear with me. Isaiah 55 is what I'll be speaking on, and I'll break that down. And so let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for those that are here and those that are listening, Father, through media. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for every ear to hear and every heart to be receptive to your word, Father, in Jesus' name. So Isaiah is inviting. It's an invitation to abundant life, Isaiah 55. And verse 1 says, everyone. It's not just talking to one person, it's talking to everyone here in the sanctuary and those that are listening. The servant's redemptive work and glorious kingdom are for the benefit for all who are willing to come. So are we willing to come? He is saying, come, come. If you are thirsty, here he is talking about a spiritual thirst. The prophet Isaiah is inviting everyone to participate of the benefits we have with no money at no price. Benefits of the kingdom are free because of his redemptive work. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace we have been saved through faith, not that of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, we didn't save ourselves, and we don't save ourselves. It doesn't matter how much we try to do. It doesn't matter how many works we're doing, how many people we help. That is not going to get us to Christ, and that is not going to save us.
That's right.
And verse 2 says, not bread. This is the bread of deceit and not the bread of life, which Isaiah was talking about. In Proverbs 20:17 says, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Imagine that. And that is in the scripture. John 6:32 and 35 says, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And the people said, sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. He's not talking about physical bread. He's talking about spiritual bread. And he's not talking about physical, like water that we drink on a daily basis. But he's talking about his spiritual water, his that we will not be thirsty. Verse 3 says, everlasting covenant, sure mercies of David. David had been promised an ending destiny, one that would culminate in the Messiah, assuring continuation of the nation. In other words, David's promise, David's destiny is our destiny. And the promise that God made with him, the covenant God made with him, is the promise that we have. God is calling to incline our ear, to sharpen and listening, to seek him. That promise he made David is the same for us. God does not change or move away from us. We are the ones that move away from him. This is so true, and I'm talking about myself, because there's times when I feel disappointed or discouraged, and instead of running to God, we run to something else, or we put God on the shelf, and we go to the telephone and call everybody and their brother, or we just sit back and forget that God is our source and God is our answer. And when we go to him, then he answers us. And sometimes it's not like we would like, and it's not like we're praying for, but God has the answer. I found that out in a lot of different things. Even when I lose my keys and I can't find them and they're around my neck. And I say, God, please help me. I can't find my keys. Where are they? And I'm beside myself, and here they are around my neck. Or your glasses are on your head. Those are just small things, but sometimes we go through different trials in our life. You know, I'm sure that we all have someone in our lives, family, friends, that have not accepted the Lord, that don't have a relationship with Christ. And, and they're hard on us. And so we just have to be caring. We have to be loving, and we have to be patient, and we have to wait on God, because God has the answer. He has the timing, and his promises are yea and amen. They never change. They never change. And it's like the word says, God's promises, God's covenant does not change. Verses 6 and 7 says, seek the Lord. Isaiah is telling us to call on the Lord while he is near. God is not planning to move away from us. He's not going to Florida. He's not going to move into Arizona. He's not moving away from town. He's everywhere. He's right there. God is not planning to move away from us. We erect a barrier between ourselves and him. It's so true. Sometimes when we're praying and interceding and standing in the gap for someone or something, and we don't see the answer, then we put up these walls between us and God. Especially right now, you know, when we don't see an answer, and we've been praying for months and months and months, and yet there is no answer, but God is telling us to continue to stand. Don't lay down and wait. Stand. God says, stand. I remember, I'll interject this. I remember my brother a year ago, last year, he was in the hospital for a whole year. And then when the pandemic hit, he couldn't have any visitors because he was in the hospital. They amputated his leg. He served in Vietnam and was in the area where they sprayed that Agent Orange. So his body developed some infection. And so here he is all year long by himself. He couldn't have any visitors. Not even his wife or his family could come and see him until the last few days of his life. And so I prayed and prayed, and I would call, and I would talk to him, and I would pray with him, and I kept covering him with Psalms 91. Psalms 91 was the psalm that I was praying over him. And but God took him home. And not that he didn't promise to answer my prayer. Not that God didn't promise to answer my request. God answered it. God gave him his ultimate healing. And I praise him for that. So don't give up. Don't build walls between you and God because you don't see your answer. God has the answer. God has the plan and the purpose. And Jay preached some of my message again, which is so cool. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2 says, "We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have hurt you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Today, even Pastor Jay said, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait until tomorrow because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Only God knows what holds tomorrow. Verse 7 says, the word there is in verse 7 and it's highlighted, forsake. Part of seeking the Lord is turning from sin. Now is the time to draw closer to God. Don't wait until you have drifted too far from him that it's difficult to get back to him. Now more than ever, we need to be so close to the Lord. We need to be in prayer on a constant, I'm not saying just daily basis, but constant communication with the Lord. It is so important for us to keep in communication with the Lord. This is not the time to drift away or stand back, but it's the time to seek the Lord with greater passion, with greater love, and Isaiah 44:22 says, "I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." God is calling us to turn back to him. He has swept away all sin. Don't say in your heart, don't say that I'll wait until I've given up this or I've given up that. We all are imperfect. None of us are perfect. Even those of us that sit here for years and years and years are not perfect. We are not. You're deceiving yourself if you think you are perfect. So God is calling us to draw closer to him. Closer. Some mornings you can look up in the sky and you can see the clouds moving away. And that's what God is saying here. He has swept away like the clouds our offenses.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 8 and 9 says, "My thoughts, my ways, Israel was foolish to act as if they knew what God was thinking and planning. His knowledge and wisdom are far greater than men's. We are foolish to try to fit God into our mold to make his purposes and plans conform to ours. We go about our business, we get up and we go to work or whatever, and we set God in a shelf, we put God on a shelf, and forget that we can take him with us. He goes along with us to our jobs, to the grocery store, to whatever our daily routine is, to the doctors, to our therapies. Whatever it is, we take God with us. And we demonstrate God to those around us with our love, with an open door, with a smile. Sometimes we go to the grocery store and the clerks at the register are very impatient and start throwing things in our baskets or in our bags, and we get just a little bit agitated or impatient with them because we don't want our fruit or whatever squashed or our chips. We worship sometimes our chips, especially when you're having a sandwich or a snack. Oh, God is good. I love my Lord. So Psalms 45:3 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." Our minds cannot even comprehend or fathom how great God is. I'm reminded every day that I am so blessed. So blessed. Some people don't have a roof over their heads. Some people don't have the proper clothes to wear when it's so cold out there. Some people don't have food to eat. But yet I stand in my home and I say, many times I tell my son and I remind him that we are so blessed. We are so blessed. And I tell him, "You are so blessed." He goes 3 days to dialysis because he needs a kidney. And then he goes to work. They're working 10-hour days. And his doctors always look at him and say, "How do you do it?" And I say, "Well, it's all God. It's all God." And I tell him, "You are so blessed. So blessed." Verse 10 and 11 say, "Rain, snow, God's word." So God is speaking to us through this snow and this cold, this freezing weather. If you're anything of a farmer or like to put fruit, vegetables out in a garden, you know that this freezing weather, as it freezes the earth and the snow that falls and waters the earth, there's a purpose for that. We just think it's too cold and we got to bundle up and put layers and layers of clothes and all that. But God says, "Okay, but enjoy the snow, because when it melts, it waters the ground. And so when the farmers are ready to cultivate and get it ready for planting, then the ground is got a lot of moisture. It has enough moisture so that the crop will grow when they plant their seed. And two, when it freezes like it's freezing, it freezes all sickness, all disease, all germs. So praise God for the freezing weather. Even though we have to be careful, we have to go outside and hopefully start our cars, So, yeah, there's a lot to be praising the Lord for this moisture. God's word, moisture from heaven, accomplishes its intent, purpose in helping meet our human physical need. And that's the farmer that goes out and cultivates the ground and gets it ready for plant. And they know that when it's real snowy, then they know that when in the spring when they're getting ready to take their tractors out and go out and cultivate the ground, that the ground has enough, that the earth has enough moisture for the seed to grow. Can you say an amen, Pastor Leonard? Yeah. Yes. God's word will likewise produce its intent results, fulfilling God's spiritual purpose. So when we speak to someone, when we smile at someone, when we open the door for someone, when we help someone, when we pray for someone, there is a seed that is being planted. And so God waters it with the snow and with the water from heaven when it rains, and it brings forth seed. I'm looking forward to courtside this year. It will be exciting. Yes. Isaiah 41:19-20 says, I will put in the desert the cedar and the sia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set pines in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together, so that my people may see and know, may consider and understand that the Holy One of Israel has created it. So as we pray, and as we wait on the Lord, and as we follow His word, He waters the seeds that we plant. Verse 12 says, go out with joy, be led with peace. Israel will return from her desperation, rejoicing to her deliverance, and unbothered by her enemies. Isn't that awesome? If you go back and read Isaiah 55 when you get home, or whenever you have time during the week, go back and read it and allow the Holy Spirit to break it down for you. Because I really like this. Israel will return from her desperation, rejoicing in her deliverance, and unbothered by her enemies. We are the people of Israel. We are God's people. And we should rejoice in the deliverance that we receive, because we are not bothered by our enemies. We're not bothered by our enemies. We only give Him as much footage as we allow Him to take. So don't allow Him to take any footage. Rejoice, because He doesn't like it. The enemy doesn't like it when we rejoice, when we sing praises to Him, when we dance. The one day, I think I texted Apostle Janet, because I was busting. I was in my kitchen, I was looking through my prophetic words, and I was listening to them, and then I ran into this, how does that go? I was busting, I rejoice. I was just rejoicing in my kitchen, and I was just, I text Pastor Janet.
Devil busting praise.
Yes. and we used to sing that and dance to that and worship the Lord with that when we would have ladies retreat, and I miss it. Oh my gosh, God is so good. Isaiah 54:13 says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter what gets shaken around us. His unfailing love is not removed from us, so we need to remember that, that he loves us so much. Oh, afflicted one, city lashed by storms. Isn't that how we feel right now? Like we're a nation lashed by storms and not confronted, comforted, comforted. I will build you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with sapphires. I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. Your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace. Isn't that awesome? O afflicted city lashed by storms. I know last year and even the beginning of this year, we've all been lashed by storms. And even our nation has been lashed by storms. But God says that he will build this nation with stones of turquoise, its foundations with sapphires. I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. And your sons will be taught of the Lord. Great will be your children's peace. And it's to me, it's talking about how God is rebuilding this nation and how our children will be taught of the Lord. And great will be his peace. In other words, we will go out in peace. Our nation, there will be peace in our nation. Verse 13, which is the last one. Instead of a thorn, myrtle tree, in the Davidic kingdom, positive changes in nature. Inclining the reverse of the curse will be an ongoing testimony of the Lord's redemption of his people. Again, I believe this is talking about our nation, how God is going to, instead of thorns, we have heard and we have seen many thorns. God is replacing that with a myrtle tree. A David's kingdom, positive changes in nature, including the reverse of the curse. There have been so many word curses spoken over our nation, over the people of our nation. And so God is going to turn that around. We may not see it right now, but don't give up. Don't give up. Because it says God will reverse the curse, will be an ongoing test, and it will be an ongoing testimony of the Lord's redemption of his people. This is going to be a great testimony, not only to the people of our nation, of our country, but to the surrounding nations. Romans 8:19-23 says, sin has caused creation to fall from the perfect state in which God created it. And we've seen it. And we've experienced it. So the world is subject to frustration and bondage, to decay, so that it cannot fulfill its intended purpose. And that has been the goal of the enemy, to stop God's intended purpose. It has frustrated and it has caused bondage to decay so that it cannot fulfill its intended purpose. One day all creation will be liberated and transformed. And we pray and we believe that it will not be too long from now, but that it will happen soon. Until that time, it waits an eager expectation for the resurrection of God's children. So that's my word.
Do you want to pray over it?
Yes. So Father God, I pray over this word. And I pray, Father God, that we wait in eager expectation for what you have for us, what you're doing now, and what you will continue to do. Father God, I pray that we will not grow weary or tired of doing well and doing what is right and what is just. In Jesus' name, I pray for those here in the sanctuary and those listening, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you for the word of the Lord, Elder Sylvia. Hallelujah. That passage in Isaiah is reminding us that God is a covenant-keeping God. And he keeps his covenant to all those who love him and fear him and walk with him. And so we have an assurance that the covenant that he made with our forefathers will be carried out. And God's reconnecting that covenant in this season. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, today we're going to get ready to go for offering. But before we do that, it is first fruits today. So I'm going to ask Elder Sylvia if she'll come up and wave the basket while I make the declaration over the first fruits. When you receive a new stream of income and you bring that first fruit into the house of the Lord, God blesses that stream of income forever, as long as it's coming into your hands. So, Father, we declare over these first fruits today, we release a blessing to rest upon the households as you, as we wave this basket in Jesus' name. I declare and release exponential multiplication and increase upon everything they touch. Lord, bless their hands to prosper. I declare and release the spirit of destruction against anything coming against their families, their household, their children, their children's children, their work, their schools, in Jesus' mighty name. I declare that the Lord himself rebuke the devourer that would try to come against you. Lord, we ask you to remember your first fruit covenant with your first fruit people and this first fruit church in Jesus' name. Lord, as they have given you their best, I ask you to put them first, give them your best, and bring honor to their name in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.